Well, at week's end, here's another catastrophe facing Tony Abbott. I'm confident he will be equal to this. He's already addressed the hoax of global warming. Now he has to address the hoax of renewable energy. I mentioned yesterday an outstanding article in the November 16 edition of Britain's The Spectator. Argues that Germany's economy is right now bracing itself for economic disaster provoked by soaring energy costs and green taxes used to fund wind farms. As an example, the writer David Rose cites a warning by BASF, the world's largest chemical company, that it may soon close down its operations in Germany and move offshore. It can't compete with overseas rivals who pay half of what it pays for energy. German taxpayers are now forking out $29 billion a year in green taxes. 29 B for billion. Britain is on a similar path to economic suicide. Its parliament is currently debating an energy bill, which in combination with Britain's $27 a tonne carbon price, will more than triple the subsidies to wind farms and bring total green subsidies, which the UK consumers will have to pay for via higher energy bills, to $78.5 billion by 2020. The Spectator argues if we add the cost of connecting wind turbines to the grid and then the cost of installing what they call switching mechanisms, that is, mechanisms needed when the wind doesn't blow, Britain's true energy bill by 2020 will be $171 billion. David Rose writes in The Spectator, Britain and Germany are sleepwalking towards economic calamity. It said, it isn't hard to conceive an exit from this strategy. Repeal the Climate Change Act. Abolish its targets and stop the energy bill coming into force. He said, but the intellectual shutdown in British politics means that such ideas cannot be publicly articulated. He said, and he could have been speaking of Australia, green energy is the closest thing the Liberal Democrats have to a religion. Christopher Booker, to whom I spoke recently, the distinguished British author, said the whole wind power issue was the greatest political delusion and the greatest piece of political dishonesty that he has ever seen. This is the distinguished British author who said, those imposing these policies, that is wind farms, upon us, are either naive believers in technical utopia or are scoundrels pursuing an illusory mirage of a carbon-light economy, which means the sacrifice of national productivity for no purpose. Christopher Booker said, until our politicians finally have the courage of their newfound convictions and halt this madness, one of the most bizarre follies of our age will not have been finally chucked where it belongs, but firmly out into the rubbish bin of history. Christopher Booker said that wind power was stupendously inefficient and ludicrously expensive, and that by falling for the greatest energy hoax of our time, his words, governments in Britain could be consigning that country to a very dark future. The Daily Telegraph in England indicated that one wind farm in Wales was producing just enough power to boil two kettles. It has 14 turbines. And the wind farm, which was the most controversial when it was built at a cost of £50 million on the site of Romney Marsh in Kent, is the largest in the southeast of England. And in August, it produced on one day, it produced the equivalent of boiling 43 kettles. A bloke called Dr. John Constable, the director of the Renewable Energy Foundation in Britain, a think tank which has been critical of wind farms, said, the truth will be painful for some, but the facts will have to be faced sooner or later. Well, here we have an O'Farrell government recommending a 63-turbine wind farm at Collector, currently with the Planning Assessment Commission, owned by Ratch Australia. They see us coming, 80% owned by a major Thai power generating company. We have the Gullen Range wind farm currently being constructed 20 kilometres west of Goulburn, 73 wind turbines, all subsidised by you to about $500,000 a throw. $500,000 a throw. This was approved in 2010, run by a Chinese company called Gold Wind. Gold, all right. None of these outfits will pay any tax here. The Bodangora wind farm was approved by the O'Farrell government in August this year, 40 turbines. Run by an Australian company called Infogen Energy. It should be called Infamous Energy. Used to be known as Babcock and Brown. There's the Mount Emerald wind farm on the Atherton Tableland in North Queensland, also being developed by this Ratch Australia, a Thai power generating company, 70 plus turbines. What the hell is the O'Farrell government up to? Can't they read? Don't they take any notice of the international experience in order to spare us from that rubbish? The trouble is that rural landholders across Australia now are facing a disappearing pool of buyers and plummeting values of up to 60% because of neighbouring wind farms. No one's going to buy your place because there are wind farm eyesores up next door. A report to that effect was released in October, but of course it's clear that governments can't read. Cullerin, C-U-L-L-E-R-I-N, is an 80-hectare rural property west of Goulburn. It adjoins Origin Energy's 15-turbine wind farm. It was on the market for 2 years. Beautiful property. It was sold last year at a 33% discount. A 120-hectare property outside Canberra, which adjoins Infigen Energy's 67-turbine wind farm, sold in May this year for a 60% discount to comparable farms. One farmer said, "Our land is our superannuation. We want to make sure the government doesn't approve turbines because it will result in significant devaluation of our properties or even make them unsaleable." Now, if there was nothing wrong with wind farms, as I said, well, why not put the turbines in Macquarie Street or Parramatta Road? Put them on Bondi Beach. There you are. There'd be more wind there than there would be at Goulburn. Put them on Bondi Beach. What about the poor consumer subsidising this rubbish? I've seen a letter written to that nincompoop, the Federal Minister for Energy, Ian McFarlane, which has not been answered, I might add, by a distinguished scholar who's analysed all this stuff. He says in the letter to McFarlane, "Wind farms are not fit for purpose. Not only are they not fit for purpose, their inherent intermittency poses a constant danger to grid operational security and reliability." He says to McFarlane, "Read that statement again. That statement means that should more wind farms continue to be built, then we face the very real possibility that the Eastern Australian electricity grid will be subjected to frequent and unpredictable blackouts." He said in the letter to McFarlane, "Perhaps you need a reminder that one of the responsibilities of the Federal Industry and Energy Portfolio is the provision of a secure, stable, reliable electricity supply to the nation and at the most reasonable cost achievable." He went on, "The task of the Minister for Energy, Industry and Science is not, I would have thought, the provision of highly lucrative subsidies to organisations whose very activities knowingly threaten the operational security and reliability of the Eastern Australian electricity grid." He went even further, this scholar, writing to McFarlane, Federal Energy Minister, quote, "The first decision you're required to make is to abolish the renewable energy target scheme effective immediately." He said the second decision you're required to make is to institute a Royal Commission-style inquiry into the operation of the Eastern Australian electricity market. He said, "There is evidence that the intermittency of wind farms, an intermittency that attracts no penalty, causes at those times where wind output plummets, huge and sustained increases in the spot price of electricity." In other words, the winds are not blowing, there's no power going into the grid, there's a shortage of power, so those who want it will pay more. Will pay more. And he said, "Outfits like AGL spread their investment assets across the entire spectrum." This is an excellent point. He said, "As a result, they gain the renewable energy target payments from the wind farms, but when the wind doesn't blow and electricity is in short supply, they're also providing electricity elsewhere, and they pick up the high spot prices paid to other forms of generation when the wind output fails." He said it's a nice little earner for the likes of AGL. Thank you very much. And he said to McFarlane, "It's this renewable energy scheme that's provided these companies with this highly lucrative income scheme, and as I indicate above, all to no useful purpose whatsoever." He said to McFarlane, "The third decision you're required to make is in relation to the wind turbine noise issue. You shall not, in the first instance, go and have a chat to your mates in the wind industry over the likely health issues, as you've indicated in a recent press release. No, if you want to gain any credibility with the electorate, then in the first instance, you shall very publicly go and visit affected residents in districts in the vicinity of wind farms. Furthermore, you shall cease pretending that somehow all of these residents are suffering some sort of delusion in their dealing with the wind farm noise issue." He said bluntly, "At the risk of offending you, Mr. McFarlane, I'm stating here that you shall wake up to yourself or face the consequences. One such consequence is ridicule. The wind industry is one of those last shelters for the snake oil merchant, the used car salesman of the very worst kind, and the electorate is aware that you have encouraged them. Well, all of that is available for you to read, Mr. O'Farrell, Mr. Harcher. It's there. Happy to give it to you. What is the agenda that enables the Harchers and the O'Farrells to deny these truths? The academic said, and I'm not going to name him, but I'm happy to name him to Barry O'Farrell. He said, quote, "If you think that being seen to support wind farms is somehow providing the necessary sop to being seen to be doing something to support the environment, then get over it. The message is out. Wind farms are both useless and dangerous." Well, there are people living next to this stuff, living next to it and then living in a nightmare. One of them who's argued this over and over again is No Dunce, and she's copped it everywhere. Dr. Sarah Laurie, she's head of the Warbra Foundation, because Warbra is a little place in Victoria, 33 kilometres north of Ballarat, swamped by wind turbines. She's on the line. Sarah Laurie, good morning.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, listeners.
You've named your foundation after that tiny northwestern Victorian town of Warbra, which is home to more than 120 of these. But, of course, they put them there because there are only 500 residents.
Well, yes. I mean, the foundation had actually been named before I joined it, Alan. But it was named basically because there were residents in the Warbra region who were suffering the noise pollution from the turbines, and nobody was listening.
If there's no noise pollution,
that's why the foundation was formed.
Yeah. If there's no noise pollution, why don't we put them on Bondi Beach?
Yes, precisely.
Hey? Put them in Macquarie Street. What? Put them in Collins Street in Melbourne. Play your wind in Collins Street?
Yes, if there's no problem.
Absolutely. And yet you've got the National Health and Medical Research Council saying there is insufficient scientific evidence linking wind turbines with health problems. That's a complete lie, isn't it?
Well, it's not only a lie. The evidence has been around for 30 years.
Correct.
And the work done by Dr. Neil Kelly and his extensive team in the United States, funded by the US Department of Energy, very clearly showed a direct causal link between infrasound and low-frequency noise generated by the turbines, which then resonated inside the building structures and homes of these people who were reporting these problems. Mm. Very clear, and it was replicated in laboratory research that was subsequently presented to the American Wind Energy Association conference in 1987. So the wind industry has known, and the wind turbine manufacturers.
And the United States government.
That's right.
And they knew that people get worse over time with ongoing exposure. All of this was provided by the American researcher Neil Kelly.
That's correct.
And all the wind industry and their acousticians and all the government noise regulatory authorities around the world are refusing to test the full acoustic spectrum inside homes. They say there's no science, but they won't test inside it. In other words, forget Kelly, come and test inside homes. And if you don't test inside homes, you'll never find the evidence.
That's correct. And in fact, that's precisely what the federal Senate inquiry 2.5 years ago recommended, testing of the full spectrum.
But now McFarlane's the minister. He's in bed with the wind industry. He's in bed with the coal seam gas industry. He's in bed with the mining industry. I mean, what chance have you got?
Look, things are changing.
They are.
There's no doubt. But look, what has gone on is absolutely, it's a global disgrace, as I've said in our explicit warning notice, which has just been issued today, Alan. It's a global disgrace. There are many people who have known that there is a problem. There are many who have known what the problem is and who have, at best, kept their mouths shut and, at worst, actively denied the problem, which continue today.
This Kelly, the American researcher, presented his findings of a comprehensive study prepared for the United States Department of Energy more than 25 years ago. And he said in-home testing of low-frequency noise from wind turbines was the only way to establish the truth. And we still don't do that here.
Well, no government authority does.
No, that's what I meant.
We don't, but,
no.
But there are private independent acousticians who are doing that.
Yes, of course. I've spoken to some of them on this program.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you've got David Rose in The Spectator say that we're heading for economic disaster as a result of soaring energy costs used to fund wind farms. He talked about Britain and Germany sleepwalking towards economic calamity. So that's the other side of the coin, isn't it?
Look, it is, and that's not one that the Warburg Foundation really has any expertise in.
No, but I'm just saying to you, we're doing all this for no discernible benefit of any kind.
Precisely.
I mean, Christopher,
and in fact, considerable harm from noise pollution to the neighbours.
Yeah, I mean, Christopher Booker called it stupendously inefficient and ludicrously expensive. You're talking about the health impacts caused by low-frequency noise from wind turbines. And you are saying, and I am saying, and I've said it over and over again, these have been known to US researchers and the renewable energy industry for more than 25 years, but of course they're on the government payroll, haven't they? They get dough from the government. They're subsidised by the government.
Well, yeah, and they're subsidised effectively by all of us.
By all of us.
We pay electricity bills because it's subsidised by the electricity consumer via the renewable energy certificates issue. Just like to say, Alan, I mean, one of the concerns that we've, or one of the issues that we've stumbled across has been this issue of non-compliant wind.
Yeah, that's another issue altogether.
Renewable energy certificates. I mean, yeah. This is a scandal.
Yeah, I'm going to look at that separately. I just want to establish the parameters here, but that is a scandal. I mean, they continue to get these energy certificates, which is money from the taxpayer, and they aren't complying. And I have been, as you have been, I think you sent me the material originally to the Victorian Health Act in relation to all of this, and they haven't complied. But just for the people listening to you, and that's another story which I'm not going to let pass, Sarah, but just in terms of the battlers listening to you out there, and I mean, I'm talking about farmers who are in drought and all the rest of it, and say, I'm sorry, we can't afford to pump our water, the electricity prices are too high, because this stuff is fed into the grid, and on top of that, there are carbon dioxide taxes. The last figures I saw, Dr. Sarah Laurie, were that wind-powered electricity costs up to $200 a megawatt hour, solar power over $400 a megawatt hour, coal-fired electricity no more than $90 a megawatt hour. Those extraordinary costs then are built in to what the consumer has to pay, along with what you're saying about the health consequences of all of this. And I mean, what are these people to do who, through no choice of their own, are living next to a wind farm?
Well, it's very difficult, Alan, because look, the ones who can move, if they're badly impacted, they move. The ones who can't stay and suffer. And many of them are vilified and really given a very hard time for speaking out about the problems. And so some suffer in silence. I mean, this is unfortunate.
But then why is the New South Wales government recommending a 63-turbine wind farm at Collector? We've got the Gullen Range wind farm, currently 20 kilometres west of Goulburn, 73 wind turbines approved by the O'Farrell government. The Bodongora wind farm approved by the O'Farrell government in August this year, 40 turbines. I mean, the Mount Emerald wind farm up in Queensland. What are these people in government doing?
Well,
can't they read? Can't they read?
They're certainly not going out there and looking for the evidence or collecting the evidence of harm to health, which is there. They're ignoring the evidence that's put in front of them, refusing to go and collect it, and then saying there's no problem. And what's more, what's even worse, saying that there's no evidence of a problem. Now, that's just wrong. There is peer-reviewed, published evidence now of harm to health from the wind turbine.
Absolutely. It's clear. It's clear. Look, people are ringing me. They're ringing you. It's well documented. And yet the taxpayer has to cop the fact that in the seat of Hume, that's Goulburn, Crookwell, Collector and all these outfits down there, they're enjoying wind turbine subsidies of $500 million to $1,000 million a year. $10 billion over 10 years. I mean, the Gillard government said that we're going to be spending $17,000 million erecting between 7,000 and 10,000 of these things. God, it's got to stop somewhere, hasn't it?
Look, it does. And I think, you know, to get back to the Kelly research, I think really it's absolutely the evidence that was known 25, 30 years ago.
Asbestos,
tobacco, thalidomide,
all of today.
The evidence has been known for a long time.
Yeah, the asbestos of today. And throw into that coal seam gas. Good to talk to you. You hang in there.
Thanks very much, Alan.
You're most welcome. Dr. Sarah Laurie. God, it's a battle, though, isn't it? It's unbelievable. Can't these people read? Don't they want to read? What is the agenda? It's an absolute hoax. Just a complete religion. And at the end of the day, people are suffering. If there are no problems, we'll put them on Bondi Beach. If not, why not?